Now, if you hadn't heard, in the last sort of 24 hours or so, BP, of course, the global oil and gas giant, have come out and announced, and this was done by their chief executive, that they would now increase investments in oil and gas by about 20% or $10 billion, and cut and decrease the previously planned spending on renewable energy, and they'll do that by $5 billion. So they say that they've gone too far too fast. What does this mean? The language does seem to be changing, and the discourse seems to be changing amongst the corporates. We've seen it with others here in Australia as well, where they are winding back some of the renewable energy projects that they had underway. Tim Buckley is an energy analyst and director of Climate Energy Finance and joins us on the line. Thanks very much for your time, Tim.
Good evening, Gary.
Well, what's going on here? Because, you know, once upon a time, all these big corporates were wringing their hands, wanting to be seen to be doing the right thing for the climate and the planet, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Although it is worth remembering, BP is a global fossil fuel giant. And so when the CEO sitting in Europe says there's a fundamental strategic reset, he reminds everyone BP has been an oil and gas major globally for the last 100 years, and the old CEO, Bernard Looney, has left. He got the boot a year and a half ago, and the new CEO has gone back to the 100-year roots of BP as a fossil fuel company. So they have turfed almost all of their zero emissions investment plans that have been put in place over the last 4 or 5 years, and ultimately they're a fossil fuel company. It's like expecting Woodside is going to invest in zero emissions technologies when 100% of their profits come from fossil fuels. It's just, it's not in their DNA.
So have they been conning us then? I mean, you go to the BP website at the moment, even now, and I mean, it's greenwashing to the max. I mean, the websites are all these beautiful pictures of what they're going to do for the environment, and it's all lovely and wonderful, and they're all part of a thing called the Australian Renewable Energy Hub. So are they just going to be honest now?
Well, yeah, under Bernard Looney, the CEO, I have never seen a corporate CEO give a maiden speech like Bernard Looney gave 6 years ago. I watched it live. It was amazing. It was a CEO who was appointed to lead one of the biggest oil and gas companies in the world, and he came out and talked almost entirely, like 90% of the discussion was about decarbonisation, the climate crisis, the climate science, and how BP was going to pivot. And for 4 years, he did do that. He did actually massively invest and try and pivot. He was trying to divest, but at the end of the day, he got smashed. Like a third of his assets in the world were in Russia, and then Putin invaded Ukraine, and those assets were worthless. So he got hit with a whole lot of issues. But at the end of the day, the shareholders have spoken. BP shares have massively underperformed their oil and gas peers over the last 5 years. I mean, the only stock that's done worse than BP is Woodside.
Tim, can I ask you then whether or not their statement that's there at the moment still on getting to net zero, where it says our aim is to reach net zero by 2050 or sooner, does that hold any water?
Well, what they've written, you'll find their website will very quickly get modified to avoid a lawsuit, as you're suggesting. They have come out and said they're going to focus on net zero by 2050 or sooner for their internal emissions, not their external emissions. So on scope one and scope two, which is two-fifths of stuff, all of their total emissions, it's all about burning the fossil fuels they extract, but it's not them who burn the majority of it. 90%+ of their emissions are burnt by their customers. So anyone that drives an internal combustion engine burns their petrol, and that creates what's called scope three to BP. So they are still committed to net zero by 2050 or sooner on a tiny bit of their total scope one, two, and three emissions, but the magnitude of it is not their problem anymore. They've gone back to being a fossil fuel dinosaur, and it's a sorry day, because the world needs companies to pivot. We can't just keep ignoring the climate science and saying it's someone else's problem. But I don't want to be all negative.
I can tell by the tone that you're thinking, you know, you're asking me about a fossil fuel company and whether they were going to be the ones that saved the planet. You're clearly of the view that they were never going to be the ones that did that, and that's where the space is still wide open for others.
Correct. And it's worth bearing in mind, Bloomberg New Energy Finance just put out a major report this month saying that the world in aggregate invested a record high $2.1 trillion in the clean tech sectors in 2024. $2.1 trillion. The amount of investment in clean tech, that being electric vehicles, that being wind, solar, batteries and grid, was more than double the investment globally in fossil fuels. So for all that BP is going back to its oil and gas roots, the rest of the world in aggregate is outspending renewable energy, and decarbonisation investments are outspending. But the key reason for that is more than half of that $2.1 trillion was invested by China. And China last year built 371 gigawatts of renewable energy. What they installed every week is what Australia did in a year. So China is just moving at light speed, and China is dominating the world in all of these industries. But to think that the Western financial system can deal with the climate science without a carbon price is a little delusional. We can't expect finance to move at the scale needed without the right policy framework.
Carbon tax, and that's the only way that you make these big corporates accountable, you reckon?
Now, obviously, that's politically toxic in Australia, thanks to the LNP and Tony Abbott, but the reality is it's not the carbon tax in Australia that's going to do it. The vast majority of Australia's emissions come from our exported emissions. Like 80 to 85% of our emissions are exported. It's the oil and the gas and the coal that we export to North Asia that's burnt in Japan, Korea and China. That's where the emissions occur. But we're the drug pusher, we're the supplier to them. So to assume that China and Japan and Korea are just going to abrogate their climate responsibilities, they're not going to worry about future generations, they're just going to walk away from the Paris Agreement like some other moron did, that's not going to happen. There will be an inevitable policy response. And I think, I look at what China's doing, I know I'm going on here, but China last year got 10% of their entire gross domestic product came from the clean tech sectors of electricity, of wind, of solar, of batteries, of EVs, of grid investment. It was just staggering to watch what China's doing. So as America abrogates the field, they've walked off the field. They've said they're not interested in playing in decarbonisation. They don't care about their global responsibility to future generations. China's not doing it necessarily because they want to be a climate hero. They're doing it because this is the logical economic driver of their economy. 10% of all GDP in China last year came from clean tech. They invested half the world. They dominate the world in these sectors. And so BP walking off the pitch as well, they were never really going to stay the course.
Yeah, but, you know, the biggest problem that I have with it is that taxpayers' money's gone into this too. I mean, you know, politicians like to stand alongside the big corporates like Woodside and BP and on projects like that energy hub I talked about and say, you know, we're putting money into this to help. And it's our money. And now yeah. What?
Well, no, and I do think BP's not writing off the Australian Renewable Energy Hub. That's one of the
biggest. How do you know if they're going to pull billions out of that kind of?
They're definitely not going to be investing in it in any material way in the next 3 years. The CEO in London has just said that. That's categoric. But that was a project that is a $50 billion project. It's one of the biggest renewable energy proposals in the world. It's a project that will take a decade to build. I still think it'll end up going ahead. It might not go ahead in the next 3-4 years. That's probably highly likely. But at the end of the day, there's been almost no taxpayer money gone into that anyway. It's not a taxpayer-funded proposal. It's actually being funded by private investors.
So, good. All right. Well, that's good to hear. Hey, just finally, you know, you very subtly touched on the change in direction for the United States in a way that I wouldn't, but I'll just ask you this. Is it because of what's being said out of the White House, you know, dig, 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 and all the rest of it, that perhaps these corporates are a little bit more emboldened to walk away from green energy?
They definitely are emboldened. The American SEC, the regulator in America, was under the previous president, Joe Biden, was pursuing greenwashing and said that was a form of investor fraud and that they were going to sue them. That's now out the window. Dig, baby, drill, baby, drill. That's the new president. The SEC is going to be hobbled. So, but that doesn't mean the climate science is going to change in any way. But I don't think BP is driving just because of the change in America. You look at what the share price has done. BP has massively underperformed the global equity market over the last 5 years, and it's underperformed its peers. And so ultimately, shareholder pressure is driving this, but shareholders in fossil fuel companies clearly aren't looking to the long-term fiduciary duty of boards out 5-10 years. They're just saying, let's make profits while the haze shine, while the sun's shining. Maybe a bad pun there. But at the end of the day, it's interesting that even the biggest oil and gas companies in the world have underperformed at a time when Putin's invaded Ukraine, when the oil price, the gas price, and the coal price has gone through the roof in the last 5 years. BP shares are up 4%. The US stock market is up 123%. It's shareholder pressure that's talking here. But it's interesting, Woodside shares in the same time frame are down 11%. So they've done as badly as BP, yet we don't see the pressure on the Woodside board yet from shareholders. People are still deluded. We need fossil fuels for the next couple of years, so let's keep drilling. It's going to come. There will be an inevitable policy response because the climate science is worse than Exxon forecast 45 years ago. We can ignore it for a couple of years. We can at our peril, but we will eventually have to pay the piper.
All right. Tim Buckley, thanks very much for joining us today. That's Tim Buckley. He's the Director of Climate Energy Finance and an energy analyst there, just off the back of BP announcing very publicly and very in a very bold way with the comments that have gone along with it, that BP, they had gone too far, too fast in transitioning away from fossil fuels.